You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hello and welcome from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio to another episode of Around the NFL, but it's a special one. It's the trade deadline special. Dan Hansis here with heroes Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler. Boys, the deadline as we record this is 1 week away. Pinch yourselves.
I love this time of year. I love a little team building, and I love the fact that the NFL trade deadline's starting to make progress, starting to catch up to the Major League Baseball and the NBA trade deadline with actual players.
Cessdog, listen to this.
Yeah.
What about the fact that I've been using Cessdog more lately? Is that a nod to money? Is it just the natural evolution of things? Your thoughts?
Natural evolution. I accept it. I don't.
You comfortable with it?
I don't have a lot of control over what happens.
So Sizzler, totally Quiet Storm, Mark with a C.
I feel like every couple of months, we learn that some athlete has taken Quiet Storm as their nickname too. I feel like they're trying to take your nickname. They have no idea it exists.
So. I don't want
to
give that away. Maybe
right.
All right, Quiet Storm.
Cling to it.
Just as, and we have a special guest just about to join us, but before we bring him in, a quick reminder, like Greg's saying, NFL is making strides and making the trade deadline a thing, which always made sense, but now GMs and teams aren't so afraid. Last year, these are some of the key names moved at the deadline. Christian McCaffrey, TJ Hockenson, Bradley Chubb, Chase Claypool, Roquan Smith, Calvin Ridley, Robert Quinn, all ahead of the deadline last year. So you would assume, we don't want to assume too much, but there will be big moves to come this week as well. So without any other delay, let's welcome in a man who knows this business of news in the NFL, and he's going to help take us through it a little bit, what to be on the lookout for with the deadline a week away. Here he comes, Mike Garofalo. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, boys? How are we?
We are good. Mike,
feeling deadline-y?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, very serious.
You feel it? Does it take you back to the old newsroom days in Jersey, I believe it was, where you were up against deadline and You needed to plug in a landline into a phone line so you could send it to your editor in time. I mean, just to bring back those memories.
You're like, I got to beat Glauber on this story.
Yeah, that was the competition of the dial-up days. No, doesn't quite go back. I probably dialed up a few times on that gig. Listen, back then, the deadline was like a, you know, hey, we'll check in at 3:59 and nothing. Okay, good. Thought so. See you guys later. You know, now it's sort of a thing. The 1 year I think really spoiled it for a lot of other years. The year where Jimmy Garoppolo and Dwayne Brown, there's another, it all happened on that last day. Like that year kind of came out of nowhere. Since then we've had some action. I don't know that it's quite lived up to that 1 year, which was 2017 if I'm not mistaken. But
Last year was pretty good, Mike. Well, I mean, you got CMC on the move, for instance, and you've been covering the league for a long time. Why do you think we've seen the deadline shift into a more active place? Is it a copycat league, like right down to something like this ultimately?
A little bit. And I think you've got a new generation of GM, and a lot of times it's a younger generation of GM that's willing to part with picks to make moves. The traditionalists like to hold on to their picks and their comp picks, kind of build their draft through that and get as much draft capital as you possibly can. Some of these young guys are willing to take the shot here. I always thought it was made more sense to use your draft capital now rather than have, because if you've got a guy now and you keep him, let's use Saquon Barkley as an example, right? You keep Saquon Barkley, you go through this year, he goes into the offseason, he signs in the spring of 2024. You're not using that pick that you're going to get for him, that comp pick, until April of 2025. Whereas, yeah, maybe you're going to get a little less potentially for a guy right now, but at least it's now part of that capital that you have immediately, or if it's player for player or something like that. I've always thought that the wait for the satisfaction, why do that when you can get something a little sooner?
I wrote an article, I think it was the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, noting that those two teams had made more trades than any teams in the NFL that decade. And it's like, it is a bit of a copycat league. It's worked. Like, teams, you can only acquire players in a certain amount of ways. Free agency, the draft, and trades. And free agency, it gets worse and worse every year. So I think people are willing to do it. They did it with McCaffrey last year. You mentioned Saquon. Let's go there. He's not getting traded, we hear. No. What is that dance like there? It's a little confusing. And yeah, I know that the Giants won yesterday. There was a lot of one-win teams that won. And I don't know if that's going to hurt the market at all. But do you think guys like Adoree Jackson is on my free agency list? Leonard Williams is on it. Those guys seem like logical trade candidates.
Paris Campbell, a guy that they signed and certainly expected more of. Now, he had a lot of incentives built into his contract that he had to earn on that one-year deal. So that's a guy that we could see on the move. Definitely would be available if the team came with the proper compensation. Not sure that that's going to happen. But go back to Saquon, who was your original question here. It is confusing. It's equal parts confusing and fascinating to me, the way that the Giants have handled the Saquon Barkley thing, because they were not that far away on a long-term deal when it came time to do the deadline, or it came time for the deadline to do a long-term deal with Saquon Barkley back in July, to the point where I knew how close they were with a day and a half to go, I want to say. And I said, okay, that's the kind of gap that's bridged this deal is getting done. And it never did. And the Giants didn't budge. Mm. And then after that, I said to myself, okay, well, Saquon Barkley is going to play out the 2023 season, and then he's done as a Giant. And I got this indication that we would love to have him around, and we're going to make another run at this after the season, and we feel like we can get a long-term deal done. I was like, you guys were right at the doorstep, and now you're going to do that. Okay, so now we get up to the trade deadline. Season hasn't started the way that we thought it might for the Giants. Maybe they're going to sell off Saquon Barkley, and the reporters asked him about it. He said, I don't want to be traded, and I did a little digging last week and was told that they basically told him, you're not going anywhere. We're keeping you. We still would love. It's like all this talk of we'd love for you to be around. It's not a regime that A, drafted him, or B, would ever use a pick that high to draft a running back. So there's kind of been a couple of times where you're like, all right, here they're out to get out from Saquon Barkley. And yet they keep kind of digging in and saying, no, we'd love to have you around for luck. So listen, it's going to come to a head this offseason either way. But to sit here 2 weeks ahead of the deadline before that two game stretch that really was going to determine whether they were buyers or sellers, which a lot of teams are in right now. I mean, teams have told other teams, yeah, we understand that you have some interest in maybe some of our players. Check back in a couple of weeks. We want to see where we are, because there's not a great spread between the bottom of the conference in both conferences, between the bottom and a playoff spot. So a lot of teams were in waiting mode. The Giants are one of them.
It's a huge middle class, as you're saying. And I think one thing that's fascinating about this, Sestog, is how the trade deadline is Tuesday, 31st. You got football on Sunday, and it's like that's where it's going to get really interesting. So if, let's say the Giants, and this wouldn't be the worst outcome, get wiped by the Jets on Sunday. They have a very quick turnaround now to decide them amongst other teams are going to have bad Sundays. All right, is it time to be sellers as opposed to buyers?
I wonder, I know with the Giants, for instance, the coach and front office married at the hip, like they're going to see things a similar way, but it's kind of tough to kind of tell your coaching staff, we're going to move someone like Saquon Barkley, we're going to move X, Y, and Z. I'd like to ask a question about the Eagles. So I know you were with the Eagles as recently as last night. To Greg's point, Howie Roseman's always been super active, aggressive, and they're one of those teams. It's like, Yes, absolutely. They're on the doorway of another Super Bowl. Like, they've got secondary injuries all over the place. Have you heard anything about them doing what they normally do, which is go out and add a couple guys to round out that roster?
Well, they're doing what they normally do in that they nose around. They're always in on stuff. There's not a call that he's afraid to make because he does investigate everything. And sometimes it results in the kind of information that leads to a deal. And he's maybe ahead of some other teams because he's willing to have those conversations. I'm not saying he's some kind of genius. It's just that's his method and he's always going to go that way. So, yeah, they have been. And I know that they've had conversations about guys in the secondary who might be available, who might not be available. They don't tend to spend a lot of money at the safety position. That's why, like, whenever they were connected to Buda Baker, it doesn't make sense because then you have to trade for him and give him top dollar.
Justin Simmons is another one.
Yeah, which would be sort of more of a rental. I mean, they've been connected. Somebody connected them to Kyle Duggar. That would be a guy that they'd have to pay. I mean, they've paid safeties, but it's usually kind of like that one step down kind of deal. It's not that top of the market type deal. And Kyle Duggar, from my understanding, is looking for big money from the Patriots or from anybody who would be his next team. So they've been in some conversations. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some kind of addition. I don't think it's a splash thing. Because they've certainly spent their money in the secondary at the cornerback position to bring back both Darius Slay, who had a big play against the Dolphins, as well as James Bradbury.
I mean, I'm hanging up the phone if Roseman calls me in this
He's
world.
He's taking advantage of the vacuum that is in the marketplace because the GM app has not been created. Dan has been trying to sell
overdue.
This GM app
Long overdue.
Where people, you know, they it's a social media app where you can post your players. And everyone can see it, and then
right. Who can beat this? And how many times? I mean, how many times is the return on a trade underwhelming? If he just would have truly gave someone else one last chance on the open market of the information superhighway. Enough of that, Mike. Hey, how about the Vikings? Yeah. So as we tape this, they got the Niners on Monday night, and who knows? Maybe Cousins goes off without Jefferson, and they have a huge game, and all of a sudden, in a wide open NFC playoff picture, they're believing in themselves. Well, we thought about the Browns last week with the Niners. You never know. But let's focus on Kirk Cousins, which we're told, or we've heard reported, even though his contract is coming up here, and they made a very purposeful decision to let this year play out, that he's not going to accept the trade. However, we'll see what happens. And then the other big name on the other side of the ball, Danielle Hunter, who is one of the leading sack artists in the league. That probably, I would imagine, is far more likely. But let's start with Cousins. Any chance at all? I would love it. We would all love it from a storyline perspective. But could he be moved?
How about to Cleveland? Come on.
I find it the Cleveland thing is the whole Cleveland thing is weird, by the way. I'll get to that in a second. I find it very, very much a long shot for that to happen. The hardest part with a quarterback. All right, let's say like the X's and O's, the playbook, all that stuff. Like he's got to get used to that and acclimated and all that stuff. Okay, great. But then there's also how many times do we talk about it in April and May and June? Like this guy's holding a passing camp with his targets because they're going to work at the facility at OTAs, and then they're going to work by themselves because they got to get that timing down. They got to get that rhythm, that chemistry. Like that's the other part of a quarterback coming in the middle of the season, because you're really not getting those full speed reps during in-season practices the way that you would, let's say, during training camp when you're kind of going all out because you don't have a game coming up in a couple of days. So that's what just makes it so difficult to trade for a quarterback, on top of all the financial stuff that would come on top of that, as well as the compensation that you have to give back for a guy. So I find it very hard to believe that Cousins is going to be on the move here. Danielle Hunter, I think that's a possibility. And these guys before the season came to an agreement to just get him back on the field and in the fold. So now it's at the point where an edge rusher, and we saw it with Bradley Chubb last year, it's a lot easier to take that guy and kind of plug him in and let him do his own thing. I mean, there's a scheme up front, everything you're working with, but in a lot of ways, he can kind of just do what he does, and he doesn't need a lot of time to get acclimated with his teammates.
Well, he's also 30 years old. He's one of the best edge rushers right now, so he'd give a team a boost, kind of like Von Miller when he was traded a few years ago. But the Vikings clearly didn't want to meet his price, or he would be signed long term. And he has a no-trade clause as part of that, tag clause as part of that contract, rather.
No,
so it's like that really spells Kwesi is looking at this, their GM, like, why would I not get a second round type of pick or something good? Brian Burns was offered like a lot of stuff a year ago. Actually, I'm going to stick with pass rusher. Do you think Burns, Chase Young is another name? I feel like
Chase Young is
just would like logically make sense because he's having a nice season, but I don't see him getting re-signed there because Montez Sweat is also a free agent.
Which I believe that they've at least had exploratory discussions with Sweat. I'm not saying that they haven't had them with Chase Young, but my understanding is they've at least set the table for Montez Sweat there. It's hard. I mean, when you draft that many guys up front, and they've done a really good job. I think they've probably signed more already than I thought they were going to sign with being able to get Jonathan Allen extended, Deron Payne extended. Well, now you've got these two edge guys that you got to make a decision on. And you know, they didn't give Young the fifth-year option, and they said, well, that'll be kind of a motivational thing, kind of, you know, get him to prove that, hey, we can make the long-term commitment to you, which is what you say. But I think it was in large part because he's had an injury history, and do we really want to fully guarantee that money to this guy? We could always franchise tag him if we have to. So I don't know. I mean, again, they're part of that cluster of teams that is still in the mix, no matter how disappointed you can be when you lose to the Chicago Bears at home on a Thursday night a couple of weeks ago and then drop a game to the Giants that was certainly winnable the way that the Giants let them hang around in that one. So you got to make a decision. Do you want to be kind of at the back end of that? To me, if I'm the Commanders, you've got a new owner in there, which is always the catalyst for cleaning house. So it's not like you're saving up anything for the future. Like, win now and do what you have to do. So to me, if I'm the Commanders, I hold on to Chase Young. We'll see as we get closer to the deadline.
What about a team like the Titans, who are, you know, in a division where if you got on a hot streak, you're alive potentially, but they feel kind of like clinging to the past, because I think there were whispers in the offseason that someone like Ryan Tannehill might fit in Atlanta. That, you know, he's hurt right now. But then a Derrick Henry type figure. It's like, is Derrick Henry part of the future in Tennessee? Or do you think they would be potential sellers if someone dialed up and said, we'd like to add Derrick Henry to our potential Super Bowl roster?
Yeah. Let's lock in on Henry, because I think that that's certainly the most interesting storyline there. I think he's still got enough left. You're getting to the point of the season where you want to run the ball. You want to run the ball physically. This is a guy that can do it. Running back's also a position, and this is why rookies are so successful. Right? You come into the NFL, yes, there's scheme. Again, I understand that. But it's also see the hole, find the hole, hit the hole. Mm-hmm. That's why you can acclimate as a rookie quickly. As a veteran changing teams, you're certainly capable of doing that as well. I would absolutely, if I'm a team looking for a physical presence, a physical runner down the stretch, would certainly look at Derrick Henry as a possibility if I was a GM. And if it costs me a little more than I'm comfortable giving up, I'm fine with it, because that is a message to your locker room, your offensive line, and certainly to defenses. They're going to have to tackle that guy, because he's still, to me, a punishing, powerful runner. I've seen that on display this year.
And Henry, I'm just looking at his financial situation. This is the last year of guaranteed money on his deal as well, right? So that makes it even easier.
Yeah.
And Tajay Spears.
Sounds right.
Tajay Spears is there. Kevin Byard was another guy that they sort of had a contract stuff with. Like, it is tough, though, if you're a Titans team. It's the tricky part. Like, I don't know who the sellers are. Do you have any teams kind of just off the top of your head that you think are looking for anything specifically, or buyers out there in general?
I go right to Denver, and sorry, one of you guys said it just a couple of minutes ago about you tell your coaching staff that you're taking talent away. I think in the case of the Broncos with Sean Payton, he's okay with setting this up for the long haul. And he spent this season, or at least the early part of the season, I think, trying to figure out who are his guys, which pieces fit moving forward. Jerry Jeudy is the obvious one that we've continued to track here. There's a lot of untapped potential there. We've seen it at times. I thought he really played well down the stretch in 2022. I thought that was going to be the point at which he turns the corner and carries that forward to this year, especially with Sean Payton, a good offensive mind coming in as the head coach. I'm very disappointed in the production for Jerry. I shouldn't say disappointed. I'm not his dad.
That's Steve Smith, but certainly your buddy Steve. That's
disappointed. Yeah, Steve is not.
Steve is disappointed.
By the way,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I don't know if you had caught wind with my parallel that I drew from that infamous night on Thursday Night Football, where I kind of said you reminded me of Mike Myers next to Kanye during the Katrina telethon.
I heard that one a couple of times.
Really?
I've also, since then, I
thought I was original.
That was good.
No. Well, you're always original. I've also heard Mean Gene Okerlund, and I was kind of standing there and pretending to be, which I feel like a lot of times is what I do.
That's baldness, you know, though. That's, you know, people are
it's
just
baldness.
Yeah. Well, it's not fair to
pseudo,
you.
It's pseudo serious. Journalist, you know, that kind of thing. And then I did it again the other day when Pelissero had his unfortunate slip of the tongue in trying to say that Justin Tucker banged a 60-yard field goal, which we totally blew it. We just did our insider show on Monday. The Ravens won 38-6, five touchdowns, one field goal. And as the show was wrapping up, I said to Andrew Gruber, our producer, I was like, why did we not? Like, we should have just run Justin Tucker's field goal and just been like, and here's Justin Tucker. I have no idea how long it was. Here's Justin Tucker. 43-yard field goal or whatever it wound up being. We totally blew that one.
I was told I wasn't allowed to play that, which annoyed me because I was really looking to escalate a potential feud with Pelraiser, and I feel like that would have taken it up a notch, some in-house heat. Speaking of that, real quick, no more. We don't want to get too far away, but what's it like doing that show? Because Pelraiser and Ian clearly hate each other, and you know they both want to be the king of the mountain. And then you're once again, you know, Mike Myers style, just caught in the middle of like this like typhoon.
Yeah, I kind of float, right? You know, like I'm okay, kind of sneaking in there and having a couple of scoops, and then getting out and you know going doing whatever else I do with Steve Smith and all that stuff. Like I'm more of the five tool player, right? These guys, they're power hitters. They're swinging for the fences every time. So that can lead to some friction. As a matter of fact, I can't tell the full story. Tom had a Nick Bolton dislocated wrist scoop today. He's going to be out 2 months. He needs surgery. And he gave Ian the kind of okie doke about that, because we were talking about injuries and we were going through the list of injuries going into that show, and they had put Nick Bolton on the A list. Like, we got to hit Nick Bolton. And Tom was like, like Nick Bolton's a really good player, but like linebacker versus quarterback or skill position guy, like we should bump him down or whatever. And then after the show was over, like he had the Nick Bolton out for two. And Ian's like, so you downplay his importance, not from a football standpoint, from a sexy skill position, because that's what sells when it comes to injuries and stuff. And then you go out and you steal the scoop there. Like he lulled Ian to sleep. So the two of them. So Ian, I got to go back and check. Ian said he wasn't going to retweet it at a protest, which is quite possible.
Sounds healthy. This is one of the biggest scoops the ATN media insider Dan Hansis has gotten in years.
That sounds incredibly unhealthy, and I love it in terms of dynamic. Mike, let's get back on track, though. Where were we? We were talking. So you were talking Judy, the Broncos, maybe Cortland Sutton in the mix, maybe here. All these names
Justin
that I feel
Simmons.
Like we've been hearing for years that these guys have been on the block. Does it finally happen this week?
If the Broncos don't make at least one move, one sizable, significant move, I'd be floored. I would absolutely be floored. You know, they've given up draft capital in the last couple of years for Russell Wilson. So a lot of times restocking the cupboard in any way you can and kind of getting some of that back. But this is the regime that, you know, Peyton wasn't a part of that. I if they don't make a move here, particularly because some of these pieces don't seem to fit for whatever reason with Sean Payton, and he's setting himself up for the long haul, I'd be absolutely floored if they don't make a move. And they've sold it like, well, we're not looking to sell anybody, but anybody can call us. My understanding, and it's been told to me by several GMs, is the Broncos kind of said, like, here's the menu. Like, you know, let us know what you want and make us an offer.
Sertan's not on that menu, though, is he?
I that would floor me. Like, right, these are the cornerstone pieces.
I've heard other like fan base, even beat reporters, being like, "Hey, we should just offer a second for Patrick Surtain." It's like, yeah, you think you should? The best young cornerback in the league is just gonna be available for a second round pick. It's like I think that's just wishful thinking, but you never know.
It would absolutely floor me because a lot
two
of times
first you, for him, you, then so maybe you, we talk.
Well, yeah, okay, I understand that.
I mean, if Jalen Ramsey was worth two firsts.
Yeah, well, you're going to get this draft capital back, and then what are you going to do with it? You're going to go out to – it reminds me of the Khalil Mack trade, when the Raiders traded Khalil Mack, and then John Gruden was like, well, you don't just find Khalil Mack on trees. We had to go out and find one. Well, you had one. Like, you're going to trade this stuff away, then you got to go get another one, you know?
All right, we're going to let you go now, Mike, because you're a very busy man, and, of course, you check him out on the Insiders, and he's all over NFL Network. Is there one kind of big name out there, an all-pro type guy – that we
Mike
haven't.
G had the Odell Beckham story, remember, before anyone else.
Once upon a time. Yeah. Is there a star out there?
Yeah, which is March.
You're hearing some whispers or just anything, a little rumbling beneath the surface that could be in play. I don't want to put you on the spot here, and yet I have.
Just get it before Pelraiser.
But you're asking the question I've heard from multiple GMs, which is it seems kind of quiet right now, and they're all afraid that they're missing something. So I've kind of heard that, like, hey, is there... anything, like, is there something I'm missing here? Like, I don't want to miss an opportunity. They're so scared of seeing stuff go down and be reported. And it's like, well,
that's
wait
why
a minute,
you need the GM app. Yeah.
The GM
need
app.
The GM app.
So I need guys
available
like Mike
where
G.
All fine apps are downloaded.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike.
Boys, thank I would you. Never trade you.
All right.
Right back at you, buddy. All right. Stay right there. We'll be right back to close things out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, we're back. Always great talking to Mike. He's a good dude. And, whew, the vibe behind the scenes at the Insiders. That's something to try.
Not surprised.
Could be a trade
not
there
surprised
as well.
In the least that there's some.
Dan is way more excited about that than the trade deadline. And I don't blame him. That was juicy.
There's something. Okay. Okay.
Does it feel like a quiet? It does feel quiet. I don't know.
Is it one of those things?
The names where, like, are we going to get? We didn't see CMC coming last year.
There's two ways to look at it. It's one of those things, like, it's quiet. It's almost too quiet.
Right.
But I think that was interesting what Mike said right at the end there, which was if, and I'm sure this happens all the time, like GMs and front office people are calling the insiders and they're like, hey, are you hearing anything? Because they don't want to miss out. But you imagine there's going to be at least one, you would think, seismic move, and then just figuring out who it is. I keep coming back to Davante Adams.
Yeah.
I keep coming back to where the Raiders are, which it just seems they're on the doorstep of a almost necessary rebuild. And he's a guy that's already spoken out that he needs the ball more. It's a team going nowhere. He's a guy, I think he's 30 years old at this point. He is someone that makes so much sense as a final piece. He's a name that when I think about what would not surprise me, Saquon also would not surprise me the way.
Isn't
and
there,
it's interesting
right.
that they're obviously, and I know the Tishes and Maras, like it's the Maras are more the personnel side and the Tishes are more the business side, but it also sounds like there's some heads butting in that building.
I wonder
about
if
Saquon.
Owner, when Mike says that the whole Saquon thing is confusing to me, that's like, well, there's the front office and the coach and then ownership. And that's when.
Particularly with that team, with the Giants. But with Adams, I feel like players are more empowered, obviously, than ever before by leaps and bounds. And Adams has squawked in the offseason. He squawked a couple weeks ago. And it's like there is time, if you're a displeased player in your situation, to raise a little bit of cane between now and the deadline, where maybe it's like whatever the Raiders have said about trading Davante Adams, what if it gets difficult enough where it's like,
and
we need to listen.
And here's what makes the most sense. That in a way that NBA players have. For instance, James Harden.
Oh,
what he's doing right now.
But it would be heading towards that, closer to that than away from
it. And the Raiders did leak out, assuming it was from their end, through ESPN this weekend, that they, they've told teams they aren't trading Devontae Adams. Or maybe it was the other teams that said it. Like, some people just started calling. But things could change.
It makes so much
Brian
sense.
Brian Hoyer will make you change.
He is a guy that will fetch at least a first-round pick. I know we always tend to overrate these trade scenarios, and then the what comes back isn't nearly as large, leading to talk about a GM app. But I think Adams is an example of that, that I think they could get a lot of future draft capital, a team that needs it, that needs to kind of figure out what they are.
Yeah, I made a list, and there's a lot of names, but the problem...
give us some name salad. Hit us.
The problem is those teams that won yesterday, those 4-1-win teams, I think could potentially take, you know, are the Patriots really going to be sellers?
But you know what?
Like,
I get
just
it.
Don't
like you're,
see them doing that. You know what I mean?
Why? Because you've gone from... Look, you don't want to give up or send the message they're giving up, but if you go from one win to two, and depending on who you beat and what happened, like, why suddenly are we locking down the fences?
This is why you
got to
push
anyone.
The trade deadline back. I say this every year. Just push it 2 weeks back. It's so early that it's almost impossible to be out of it. But here's some names. I mean, I think Chase Young is a really interesting. Mm-hmm. He's quietly played really well this year.
He was great against the Giants.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Jalen Johnson is your number one coverage graded quarterback or cornerback, sorry, for the Chicago Bears. He's had a very up and down career, like a lot of young cornerbacks. Like, his good is really good. They're going nowhere.
He's 20.
I don't know if they're going to sign him long term. So he's someone I think you'd be like, wow, they got a two for Jalen Johnson, but it's like Jalen Johnson's worth more than Chase Claypool was a year ago. Dante Jackson is a...
Hold that thought. We have a trade. Breaking news.
Shut up.
For real.
Perfect.
It better not be Jalen Johnson.
No, well, no.
That would be crazy. I would feel like an amazing...
Hit it, Robert.
...human being.
Oh, and very... Rappaport, you could tell by the lack of characters. He's like, I got to get this out before
ASAP.
Hellraiser.
Yeah.
According to a source, the Eagles are trading for Kevin Byard. Did he come up today?
I said Byard. I just sort of jammed it into the Titans question. I said, well, Byard was a guy they sort of had contract issues with in the offseason. He wanted...
How about that?
A raise, and then he got a pay cut.
On topic.
The
with
veteran safety to a Eagles team that... And we brought up the Eagles as well.
Yeah.
That has been kind of besieged by injuries in their secondary and needed some help in that regard. So you get an instant potential difference maker there. And again, I say never trade. Never trade with the Eagles.
You know Mike G's, discovered that information just as we did and thought.
You know what he discovered? He was like, I could have had that if I weren't talking to the bozos.
Yeah, that's not a good.
He does say, and there goes Howie's DB move. I guess, yes, our Eagles defensive back conversation was there. But that makes sense because I don't think they're going to pay him. He's just along for the ride. He's in the last year of his contract. He's a really smart, good player. Oh, I'm wrong there. I'm glad I checked this out. He is not in the last year of his contract. I was confused because they did try to redo it. I think they actually got him. They asked him to take a pay cut, and he said no. And they did the rare move of like, oh, actually, you call their bluff. We're not going to cut you because we like you. And they kept him. But it spoke to something uncomfortable in that relationship. But unless the Eagles feel like it, they can keep him under salary next year for about $13 million. I mean, it's a lot for a safety, but it's not outrageous.
And, you know, Justin Graver and all the other Titans fans, that's a clear signal that they are sellers. And another thing to point to now that is Derrick Henry on the move and whoever else could be on the move. But Henry, again, and that was interesting also that Mike G said, okay, that's the name to center on, both, I think, because it's interesting to talk about and because it makes so much sense and what he said about how running backs can hit the ground running with a new team because the scheme isn't, you know, it's not team dependent as much. Very interesting. I would imagine he's gone now. I think he's gone.
I know, but I'm trying to think like who would trade for him.
The team I thought in the offseason would have fit would have been the Bills, but James Cook's been very good, so maybe not necessary.
How about the Bucks? I guess I'm just thinking about teams who see themselves.
Could I use like Baltimore, Greg.
They could certainly use contenders. A running back. Baltimore to me, he just That's seems like someone that they would trade for, and I like Gus Edwards, but I think they want to run the ball a lot. They just are the home for wayward veterans that it's like, oh, Kyle Van Noy, like come along and have your best season in 5 years out of nowhere, and Jadeveon Clowney, and they're just like good at getting those guys, and Henry.
What if the spicy Texans continue to win and traded for Derrick Henry?
That would they trade?
They wouldn't. I feel like in the division. I do not think Houston's in a seller.
I call it division.
Seller mode. Plus, I have Damian Pearson, my fantasy, really waiting for that to work out.
Oh, you should have led with that.
Brian Burns.
Yes.
I mean, he's a big-time player. He's a free agent. The Panthers are 0-6. So I'm like, who's definitely could be a seller? You would think the Panthers. We actually heard that they're looking for a wide receiver, which is interesting. But I think that would maybe be more of a Calvin Ridley type of situation. I know Ridley was suspended, so that was unique. But it's like, is there someone out there that we could trade for and then sign long-term? And Darnell Mooney, to me, is a NFL receiver. He fits.
Well, that checks a box.
Well, what I mean is by that is like, Darnell Mooney's not going to get everyone excited. We're not going to do an emergency podcast for him. But he could absolutely be in your top three receivers on a very good passing offense. And like so many teams need guys like that. He's a deep threat that I think would be worth going after.
What about someone like Carl Lawson?
Yeah, I think they could dump him for...
Yeah, he'll be most likely on the move as well. There's so many names. So Dalvin Cook from the Jets as well. I wonder if they try to unload him. Because he certainly has not established himself here. By the way, some trade terms. The Titans get back a player, safety Terrell Edmonds, and a fifth and sixth rounder. Something tells me that that's not exactly what Titans fans are hoping for there. So based two day three draft picks and Edmonds, who's a downgrade from Byard. So
that's too bad because Edmonds did great work on Mike last week at the Philadelphia Phillies game. It was kind of like a viral. I think it was him and might have been DeAndre Swift. I forget what it was. And then he's traded. You know, who's just getting used to the.
Isn't it tough? It's a tough thing being a professional athlete sometimes.
You know what I saw in the Athletic today, which it just feels. I know it was like a random column, but it was like a Browns columnist saying the Browns really need to trade for Jacoby Brissett back, and I was like. I don't think it's going to happen because why would Washington feel like doing that? And like, why would the Browns give up anything that would make it worth it for Washington is more my point. Like, why do it unless you're getting like a third or fourth? And that just seems a little
They also let Josh Dobbs go. So the Browns have done a somewhat mysterious job of letting backup quarterbacks
like
escape the building.
Jameis could potentially be available if someone needed a quarterback. But I think the Jets are now out of that market.
Can you imagine trading Jameis Winston in the middle of the season? And then saying, here's the playbook, and now be our starting quarterback. Good luck.
Well, like if a team.
Good luck to you.
I don't know who it would be. The Browns, I suppose, are the best example.
No.
Just like we're not sure if our quarterback's going to be healthy, and we're not really sure about PJ Walker bringing us to the playoffs.
Won two in a row. I mean, Deshaun Watson, in theory, is starting next week. No, that's what they've said.
I know, but they're in backup plan.
They're kind of in purgatory.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
All right, so. Good stuff. Thank you again to Mike Garofolo, who is always great on this show. And just a little tease, a little later in the week with Colleen Wolfe, we're going to have some more trade fun. I'll leave it at that. And you could probably figure it out. All right, big, busy week ahead of us on Around the NFL. It's just getting started. Remember, we have Monday Night Football, the recap coming up later. NFL Plus is back. Game of the week is Browns v. Colts. Check it all out and heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish.
Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.